House Education Committee together to order. Today is February 27th. Call the roll, please.
Here.
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 Excuse. Excuse.
Here.
Here. Okay, today we hear HB 30, Constitutional Curriculum. My staff is here, but I'm going to go out there in the hot seat because there's just something wrong about sitting up here and being in the hot seat. So what I'm going to do is turn the gavel over to Representative Reinbold.
Okay, and with that, please come forward. You know the routine.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Representative Wes Keller, sponsor of HB 30. And this is a continuation of a hearing that we've had on HB 30. And so there's in just to get the committee up to speed and where we're at, in the committee discussion that we had so far, we closed out, I think it was on February 6th here, and there were some questions raised by Representative Seaton, and he asked for a outline to talk to look at quote, what we're really looking at here, unquote. And so some of the comments, I'm trying to respond to them and get them on the record so there's continuity, so anybody looking at the minutes will be able to trace what's going on here. So if you want to see the last minutes, like I say, that was on February 6th, a couple weeks ago, Friday, today. The following responses that I'm going to give are to his concerns, but the overall deal is to try to really clarify what the intent and what the bill is all about. Regarding his discomfort that he stated that HB 30 requirement to teach constitutional values in the context of other founding documents is, quote, controlling. He made that comment, and specifically that was in the context of American constitutionalism being offered in the context of the early state constitution, the Declaration, Articles of Confederation, Federalist Papers, and Bill of Rights. The founding documents were cited in HB 30, and they're selected because they were produced in the brief 15-year period when America was established. Referencing them provides a context for the original intent. It is not, there's nothing controlling about it. I know of no reason to exclude some or any of the documents listed in the bill, and I want to point out that it's not an exclusive list. If you look at page 2, line 23, you'll see that it includes, quote, other historical documents, unquote. Actually, there's been hundreds of thousands of original pre-1850 documents that were penned and have been preserved, and they have there's museums that develop them, and any of these would be provide a valuable context for a educator looking at the American constitutionalism. Regarding the stated discomfort that came out that some values that may have been allowed for in the process of the founding of America, allowed for then, may not match our values now, HB 30 presumes that a high-quality education must include an understanding of the values upon which America was formed. HB 30 does not propose that the current cultural values that we hold today must align with all historical cultural values. That is not a premise of the bill or the sponsor. Rather, it presumes that an understanding of those values is a valid starting point for critical thinking regarding what our current values should be. Ironically, this presumption, my presumption here of the bill, is clearly confirmed by the Constitution itself. It's a value that's in the Constitution that can be discovered quite easily, because we're looking at Article 5. The founders of the Constitution presumed that there'd be critical thinking Americans in times coming that may want to come back and change the Constitution. So Article 5 has allowed for amendments to that document, And that is allowed for 11,000 approximately amendment attempts over history since this time period. 27 of those have been ratified. The founders did not presume that they had produced a perfect document. They presumed that it was, that it had a process included in it that would allow for change. I would venture that every one of the 11,000 amendment attempts was either driven by or subsequently caused a reevaluation or refreshing of review of American constitutionalism. I think that is a result and a very positive one. Regarding the stated discomfort with the fact that the values derived from the from a study of these documents would not include understanding of values revealed in subsequent amendment processes, that was specifically brought out in HB 30 proposes that an understanding of American constitutionalism is essential to understanding any subsequent amendment to the U.S. Constitution and any current consideration of public policy and government. If you don't know where we started, it's hard to have a value there. In regard to the implication that we maybe should not require our students to understand the Constitution because it allows awareness of early state constitutions values that is specifically cited were like slavery, discrimination against women, limitation of women's voting rights and ownership of property, and the fact that we looked at Native Americans, some of the early state documents, you can see that they viewed Indians as something less than human. To use a rather worn quote, he who cannot remember history is destined to repeat it. The end of slavery, I would propose the end of slavery and the progress in human rights, women's rights based on equality are consequences of the application of the values that were evident in the study of American constitutionalism. The self-evident truth that human dignity is based on universal and natural human rights is enshrined by the Declaration and has been a beacon for the world, for freedom worldwide. It was not invented, these values were not invented by American constitutionalism and the founding of our country, but they were definitely enshrined when our country was founded. Countless Americans cling to the foundational values of human dignity and freedom and natural human rights and are willing to die for it in defense of this system. America is unique. About 100 years after the documents in question made history, if you remember, that's about 100 years, so that's when the Statue of Liberty was given to us by the French. And a look at the Statue of Liberty and a review of that history, the symbolism in the statue is absolutely stunning. There's a broken chain at the feet of the Statue of Liberty. And that is a symbol of the end of slavery. And I would say that symbolizes the effects of the application of the values of the founding of this country. The torch that she holds and the spoked crown diadem that she has is an indication of a beacon, a light to the world. There's seven points of the stars, and the idea is the seven seas and all over. And as you come into New York Harbor there, that was meant to say here, to paraphrase my, the implication is, here is a beacon to human freedom, and it's been enshrined in the process that was developed in America. She's holding a tablet, and that symbolizes the rule of law. And it is an interesting fact. On this tablet is a date. And it's not the date of the Constitution. It's the date of the Declaration of Independence. It just shows that, there was an appreciation for the values that came into being at this time. The statue honors America's contribution to American history, and surely this bit of self-discipline that I think HB 30 lays out for our schools is a pretty small an important thing for us to do, and I would really encourage your yes vote. The only argument really that leaves is the one that is really obvious and forefront to us, and that is that whether or not we have as legislators the we shouldn't be really careful when we mandate things to the school district. And frankly, I have voted and I intend to vote against many bills that are mandates against the school district. This one here rises in importance to me to the point that I bring it forward. And I want to point out some interesting things. One is I got an endorsement from my own school district, the Mat-Su Borough School District. And I think that indicates to me that a lot of the schools are doing this, and they're in fact we have evidence of it. In the hearing last year, we had some schools call in, and the students were well versed, actually better than I was, and I was just really proud of them. But this just kind of standardizes the importance of this teaching, and I again encourage your vote. There was some mention of the word waiver. On page 2, line 27, there's a sentence that says that they cannot waiver this requirement in order to get a diploma. And I took that out. That's the CS in front of you. I took it out completely. And part of the reason there is there's no such thing as a waiver for diploma requirements. So what it implied, wrongly, I didn't mean to, was that a process should be developed for waiving requirements to get a diploma. So it doesn't hurt the bill in any way to take out that sentence. So I took it out and provided you with a CS. It removes that sentence, and it does not change the meaning of the bill at all. It is still a required history curriculum segment, and it leaves the evaluation standards of the student, the learning standards to how they satisfy themselves that the student learned. It leaves it in the hands of the district. It does not mandate tests. It just says satisfy yourselves that the kids know this. That's the intent of the bill, and I think it's pretty clear. I request that the committee adopt the CS, and I would also request your yes vote and support of getting this out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And so I move committee substitute for House Bill 30, version 29, LS01-86-W, as a working committee document.
I would object for the purpose of discussion, Madam Chair, Acting Chair.
Okay.
Go ahead, you have the floor.
Okay, well,
I don't know if the chairman is finished with his rollout. I had just one question.
I'm here for questions.
Okay.
Okay.
While I have the floor, then, Madam Vice Chair, for the record and for the legislative intent, Mr. Chairman, is it the intent of this legislation that the constitutional curriculum or constitutional course matter be incorporated within existing graduation requirements and existing, we have U.S. history, social studies, government, these things are taught in high school, and that it not be intended to be another graduation requirement but incorporated into existing studies? Is that the intent of the legislation?
It's a additional graduation requirement, but the requirement is that the school district teaches the course in a segment of history, or I don't think that's even a requirement. It could be a segment in civics if that's what a school district decided or whatever, but it is definitely a requirement to be added to the graduation requirements. But it leaves it totally up to the school district to set the standards for that and to provide the curriculum and it does not, there's no intent here of a top-down state to district, here is the curriculum, here is the syllabus. That's not at all it. It's saying, hey, go look at the values in American constitutionalism, make sure your kids learn this. That's the intent, always has been.
Okay, and with that, we're going to go ahead and move to public testimony. Okay, we've got several people online that are interested in testifying, so let's start with James Squires from Delta Junction.
Madam Chair, can I rejoin the committee as a member, not as
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right? This is James Plush. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair Reinbold, members of the House Education Committee. My name is James Squires. I represent one of the people under Article 1, Section 2 of the Alaska Constitution. I support and applaud House Bill 30. Clearly, we have problems in this country and in this state. As we start to analyze the issues, we find that oversized federal government, federal overreach, unnecessary federal and state laws, state overreach, and degradation of our individual liberties can be traced back to a wandering away from the founding of our great country. I'm a CPA by profession. I'm also a mariner. For 11 and a half years, my wife and I sailed completely around the world on our 37-foot sailboat, Rainbow Chaser. You might be wondering what this has to do with a constitutional curriculum. Well, in our 11 and a half years abroad, we sailed through 25-plus countries. It did not take long to realize what makes our great country different is our Constitution and our unique founding. The oppression and tyranny we have seen abroad is what makes me keenly aware of the infringements on our individual rights that are taking place back here in the United States. I'm also very aware of the oaths we have taken to protect and defend the Constitution. I would expect for schools around Alaska to be teaching a good deal about the Constitution already. If they're not, it's time to get up to speed. How can a young person entering the service or one who gets elected to serve in some position know how to defend the Constitution if they've not studied the Constitution? Understanding and defending the Constitution protects our individual liberties and turns some gray areas into black and white issues that can be solved quickly and easily. After our years out on the high seas, we chose Alaska as our home because it truly has the highest level of personal liberty left in the world. This is worth fighting for, and today you have an opportunity to take one more step in going that extra mile to make a difference in the right direction by voting for HB 30. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much. And with that, we will move down to Pam Good.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. Thank you very much for this opportunity. The first thing I have to ask, I do support HB 30. One of the things you have to ask is why do we even have a bill like this? So obviously something is missing in the fiber of our society when this should just be automatic. What I'm finding is that freedom and liberty that we enjoy today, it's dying in our country and it's dying at our own hands. I was on that boat, that was my husband that spoke previously, and what we noticed oftentimes when we would be by ourselves for so long and not hear the English language, when we would get into an English language speaking country, Australia, New Zealand, we thought we were around like-minded people. And what we found out is, as Americans, is that we're different. It's not the color of our skin, it's not anything, it's the way we think and the way we approach things. And when there would be an organization or something that needed to be taken care of, they would look at the Americans and they'd say, ask them. They can always get stuff done. They're quite industrious. And then while we were abroad, James and I were starting to wonder, why are we so different? You talk to these people and you think you're the same, but you're not. And what we found out is the reason we're so different is those documents. It's our Declaration, our Constitution. It's our biblical principles and values that makes us who we are. You don't have to agree with that. It's all about choice. But this is the history of your country. When you say you're an American, that means something. And it's because of our history. When we came back to the States, I would ask, are we a republic or a democracy? Where do your rights come from? What's the purpose of government? I'd ask this to adults and children, and you know they couldn't answer that. I was amazed. So obviously something's missing again. And then I think someone noted that this has a fiscal note or it's going to cost impact. I agree. The one thing we need to be focusing on in our state right now is money, cutting the budget. But did you ever think that possibly the root cause of where we are right now is because people don't know what a smaller government is and individual liberty? That's happening at every level of government. $18 trillion, Obamacare, Common Core, EPA overreach, and right now in Alaska, we can't seem to cut the budget. There's a problem there. And maybe the root cause is all those who took an oath to uphold and defend it don't know what they took an oath to. So So let's start there, and let's definitely pass this and get this rolling in our state. Maybe our state can lead the way of that the country needs to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pam. And with that, I'm going to ask if anyone has written testimony, if they could please email it to rep.west.keller@akleg.gov so we can make sure we get it to the recorder. That really helps with the minutes of the meeting. And thank you very much, Ms. Good, for your testimony. And we will now move to John Conwell in Unalaska.
Good morning, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Conwell. I am superintendent with the Unalaska City School District. I have a Bachelor of Arts in History from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I am a former teacher of U.S. government and history. I would like to thank the sponsor of HB 30 for drawing attention to the study of American government and constitutionalism. It's an important discussion, especially when so much of the recent focus has been on the core subjects of reading, writing, and math. Despite this, I must speak in opposition to this bill. HB 30, in my opinion, calls for a narrowly focused study of America's founding documents that might more appropriately be covered in an advanced placement course or in an undergraduate college course. In high school, U.S. government, or civics, is generally a culminating course offered to juniors and seniors. The civics course should lead the student to a general understanding of the constitutional foundations of the American political system and the democratic ideals of the United States. At Unalaska High School, U.S. government is offered as a year-long course, during which students study the founding documents, including the U.S. Constitution. The Unalaska Board of Education and I trust our highly qualified high school history teacher to cover the required subject matter and to appropriately assess the student's understanding of the content. As this committee knows, school districts have their plates full right now with several recently mandated initiatives. Although HB 30 is well-intentioned, it is, at this time, another unnecessary, unfunded mandate. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
And with that, John, can you speak to the new unfunded mandates? What are you referring to there?
There are several with the new educator evaluation system, the restraint and seclusion requirements to provide training to our staff to get them up to speed on that, the Alaska Measures of Progress testing, that's been a huge burden, at least on our district, getting the technology in place and getting ramped up for these tests that are coming up quickly at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Chair Keller would like to ask you a question, if that's all right.
Thank you, John, for calling in. Thanks for taking time. I know it's got to be a busy day. And I appreciate you taking the time to call. I want to take opportunity as long as you're online to thank you if you participated in that survey that we just got from ASB, and that's the School Board Association and the Superintendents Association, where we got a lot of comments and suggestions in a broad sense, not on this bill. It's a little bit of a different, but you bring up the issue. Of the unfunded mandates, and that was very helpful. We got like three or four pages of comments from superintendents and principals across the state, a broad range of issues. HB 30 was not among those issues, but in general it was, but in a couple cases. But I just wanted to say thank you, and did you respond on that survey? Nobody's named, of course, but I'm just curious.
Yes, we did.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Okay. And with that, thank you very much. We will now move to Anchorage. Mr. David Neese.
Yeah, hi. This is David Neese from Anchorage, speaking for myself. I also have a BA in history, and I think history is the key thing that you have to do to know who you are is to study where you came from. So having a direct, clear, concise study of these topics is a good idea. There was a couple concerns about the fact that who wrote the document. That was just a reflection of the society at the time. White landed males were the people that had the power, so they got to write the document. America's changed a lot in the meantime, and I think studying these documents should be part of any U.S. history course taught anywhere in the state of Alaska. The Civics course says, yeah, you should go vote. Well, we see how that works as when we have our elections. You should go vote is different than I know why I should vote. And studying the documents is very important. I would like to address the fact that when we introduce curriculum as going to be part of the graduation standard, you probably should provide the curriculum for the school districts. Because what you're doing is you're allowing them to go out and purchase the curriculum. That's a cost to the district. If you pass HB 30, it should also include the amount of money it would require to put those textbooks out in those classrooms. That way the school districts can't say, you're giving an unfunded thing. You have funded it, you provided the materials, and then trusting the teacher to teach it is good, but telling them that they need to know it in order to get credit for it, that's important. So I support the bill. I think it's very important to know where you are. Members need to think to themselves, have I read this list of documents? If I haven't read this list of documents, you probably should have, because you are sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution and the Alaska Constitution. And without reading these things, you are not supporting in the same position as those children. Thank you very much.
Do you want to respond? Okay. Mr. Neese, thank you very much. We really appreciate your input. And I'm going to see if there's anybody else online. Anybody in the audience? With that, I'm going to go ahead and close out. Any further discussion?
Brief, Annie.
Just
go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to take a brief, please. Thank you, Chair Keller.
Yeah, Representative Culver has asked that I release a memo that came to me. It was directed to me from our legislative council, and it has to do with an amendment that was not offered, but the amendment, in very general terms, I guess I should ask Representative Culver to describe that rather than myself, but let me read the response in, and I think it'll build a context. And this is dated February 10th, 2015. You're requesting an opinion regarding a proposed amendment to HB 30. In my opinion, the amendment work order that she numbers here does, well, I'll read it, 29LS0186A1, does not make any substantive changes to the content or the intent of the bill. HB 30 requires school districts to include a segment regarding American constitutionalism in their curricula. The amendment specifies that this curriculum segment, quote, may be taught as part of a course already required by the governing body of the school district, unquote. However, nothing in the language of HB 30 without the amendment would require the American constitutionalism curriculum to be taught as a standalone course. Rather, proposed AS 14.14.095 Bravo specifies that a student must, quote, successfully complete the course in which the curriculum segment described in A of the section is contained, unquote, to be eligible for a diploma. The constitutionalism segment is considered a part of another course, not a separate course. Likewise, proposed AS 14095A refers to this component as a syllabus for a curriculum segment, not an independent course requirement. It seems clear from this language that the segment on American constitutionalism is intended to be taught as part of another class, not to create an entirely separate class. If I can be of further assistance, please advise. And I just want to say that the part of the reason why I didn't recall Representative Culver is that was, you know, it was consistent with what I thought, so it just confirmed my thinking. But if you want to explain something, go ahead.
Well, for the record, Mr. Chairman, I wanted clarity that it wasn't instruction to school districts to create a whole new class, and some districts are already doing this in their civics instruction in high school, and I think their legal opinion was clear that it's maybe incorporated into existing coursework, and that appears to be the intent, and so I think that satisfies my concerns on that issue, and I think it makes the record clearer as this piece of legislation goes through the process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments from the committee? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't get a chance during questions. We went right to testimony.
Correct.
To talk with the sponsor, so I guess I'll just do this as discussion. But the documents that we received with this package included only the MATSU civics curriculum discussion document, did not include a definition of constitutionalism, did not include any kind of an outlined syllabus. The sponsor statement indicates that the students are going to be required to demonstrate their knowledge, which would seem to be something more than passing a course that doesn't demonstrate the knowledge of those documents. And it also, in the sponsor statement, says it will require, you know, quote, require the Alaska Department of Education and or the school district to implement courses. So that would seem to be a statewide standard, and since the sponsor stated that this would give standardized knowledge across the state, I'm somewhat confused as putting in a requirement that every school district generate a syllabus, and generally indicates that it's not going to be a standardized knowledge, or it's not going to be something that is consistent across the districts. And I think I just want to put on the record that the memo that was attached that had this being a one-semester course in the senior year was not withdrawn, but is not contained in the bill that we have before us. And just wanted to make sure that that was there. I guess the communications that I've received from school districts see this as very definitely an unfunded mandate because it's a new curriculum segment. And although I didn't receive it through the committee, the Chugach School District opposed, and specifically the Kenai School District. I think that everybody received a copy of that, but I would like to read this paragraph. Our process for curriculum development includes teacher and community committee meetings to develop the curriculum, the courses to meet the state standards, and then another committee to review the material to support the curriculum, a third committee to develop a quarterly and interim assessments to accompany the curriculum, and finally we review the implementation of the new curriculum after 1 year. And then they go on and say the timing of this in budgetary restraint times is very problematic for the district. And so this is quite an unfunded mandate to develop a curriculum segment that requires public meetings, committee work, review, et cetera. So I think that putting this in law, in statute, is not something that we should go forward with in a haphazard way and say, well, you should do something and to your satisfaction assess. And so it seems problematic from that standpoint, but what is also problematic is that the Alaska State Standards that we have in place, 2013, under Government and Citizenship B, there's 9 things that are required in there, including 1, understand the ideals of the nation, expressed in the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights. 2 is recognize American history and culture, including the Republican form of government, capitalism, free enterprise, patriotism, strong family units, freedom of religion. 3, understand the United States Constitution, including separation of powers, the executive, legislative, judicial branches of government, majority rule, minority rights. 4, know how power is shared in the United States constitutional government at the federal, state, and local levels. 5, understand the importance of individuals, public opinion, media, political parties, associations, groups informing and carrying out public policy. 6, to recognize the significance of diversity in the American political system, 7, distinguish between constitutional-based ideals and the reality of American political and social life, 8, understand the place of law in American political system, and 9, recognize the role of dissent in the American political system. So, Madam Chair, the problem that I see is that Alaska state standards that require this to be taught in our schools currently with curriculums that are developed are now receiving a mandate that there's a separate segment of curriculum that needs to be developed, and apparently it's exclusive of the documents themselves because the documents are already required to be taught and understood and required to be this required to be passed. So, Madam Chair, I am at a loss as to figure out when we do not have a definition in this bill of what American constitutionalism is, and we have differing elements in the sponsor statement, in the discussion of the findings, and how those compare to the state standards which are currently in place, that we have a bill that should be placed in law and put this unfunded mandate to develop curriculum that seems to be already incorporated in our state standards as requirements. So, Madam Chair, with that under discussion, I don't think that we're ready to move the bill from committee, and thank you.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to allow the sponsor of the bill to respond, and then I'll also be responding. So, Chair Keller.
Oh, just one sentence, Madam Chair. You know, I hear your concerns. I think that HB 30 actually just is a step to strengthen the standards that are there. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to respond differently because this is a deep concern of mine. These Alaska academic standards are based on the Common Core standards. These Common Core standards were written behind closed doors. They're unvetted standards. This bill is more critical than ever. I've looked at some of these Common Core documents, and in particular, the guidelines, the framework for the new APUSH, the AP U.S. History, there's major pushback across all party lines, across historians, in regards to David Coleman, in him being now the chair of the College Board, and he helped write the standards. So there's dramatic concern across this nation for what has happened with our standards. So I think now, more than ever, we need to teach the original founding documents and the Constitution that we not only swore to uphold, but we swore to defend. And it's our civic duty to ensure that our children understand the document that has held this country together. So with that, I will be passionately supporting this bill. I am a co-sponsor. And with that, I'm going to look to see what's the will of the committee.
Madam Chair, I move CS for House Bill 30, version 29-LS0186/W, out of committee, with attached 0 fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Thank you. And with that, moves out of committee. And we are adjourned now at 9:45.